Australia on the Triple M network. Triple M! Welcome to the Night Shift with Luke Boner.
I tell you what, this story coming out of New South Wales has certainly got the nation talking about political correctness gone mad. In New South Wales, childcare centres and preschools are going to ban toy guns, toy swords, toy knives, all that sort of stuff, because they believe it will lead to violent behaviour. There, in the press today, have been plenty of child psychologists, plenty of child psychiatrists and experts in early development that are all saying it's rubbish. It is rubbish. We will have another look at that a little bit later this morning. Just have a think about it. What toys did you play with when you were young? And did those toys mold you to be the person you are today? Now, I've got to say this, and I say this with all respect, Jess, you're not Barbie.
I'm also not Lego.
And you're...
not a building block either. not a Tonka truck.
You're not a Tonka truck. You're not a piece of Lego. And you're not a Barbie. You are Barbie-ish. You're a Lebanese Barbie. Is there a Lebanese Barbie?
Let's make one.
There should be one. There is a black Barbie. Is there a Hispanic Barbie? Do they make Barbies from different... They do, don't they? They make Barbies from different nationalities.
They do. Over the years, it's really expanded.
Actually, you should look it up. How many different nations does Barbie represent? But anyway, does the toy or do the toys that you play with when you're young determine who you are when you're an adult? That's the question. And if you're allowed to play with toy guns at school, and we're talking preschool, we're talking very, very young, does that encourage violent behaviour later on? Once again, the decriminalisation of cannabis is in the news. Apparently, Australians have a more progressive stance to cannabis reform than the current laws are reflecting. A poll conducted by the Greens has found that the majority of Tasmanians support the decriminalisation of recreational use of cannabis in the state. Now, this is in line with the findings of the latest 2016 National Drugs Strategy Household Survey, and it shows Australians largely support the decriminalisation of cannabis and the use of medicinal cannabis, and a growing number support full legislation of cannabis. Now, a recent study also found more than half of surveyed Australian GPs are actually in favour of prescribing medicinal cannabis. Now, that's a completely different source of cannabis than the recreational drug. And I don't think you can compare the two. It's not apples and apples. Now, despite opinion polls, Australian state laws, they flip-flop all over the place on their approach to cannabis decriminalisation. For example, South Australian Attorney General Vicky Chapman recently announced plans to quadruple fines for people found in possession of more than a small quantity. Cannabis decriminalisation removes any criminal penalties for possession or use. Cannabis has been decriminalised to a very limited extent in three jurisdictions, South Australia, the ACT, and the Northern Territory. And the latest NDSH, that's the National Drug Strategy Household Survey, from 2016 found 73.9% of Australians do not support the possession of cannabis being a criminal offence. So where are we at? Do we need another drug out there? It's there anyway, isn't it? And if you want to get hold of cannabis, if you want to get hold of heroin, you want to get hold of ice, you want to get hold of guns, you can. Is smoking marijuana a gateway to stronger drugs? That's the other big argument against the legalization or decriminalization of cannabis. Is it a gateway drug? Does it lead to harder drugs? Do we need a national referendum on this, or do we just go state by state? Should the penalties increase for people who are selling it in large proportions? which is what they want in South Australia. You tell me what you think. G'day, Matt.
As far as I support marijuana use, I mean, I don't even smoke anymore. I did when I was younger. I don't see an issue with it. And, I mean, it'll stop a whole lot of black market crime anyway if it's legalised.
I've heard all that. And you know what? I actually don't care. Because plenty of people are doing it. They're not causing me any problems. But
yeah, exactly right.
Are we sending a dangerous message to kids to say, look, here's another vice. Here's something else you can get into. And is marijuana a gateway drug? Does it lead to stronger drugs?
Well, I think people that get addicted to drugs in the first place, well, I've been addicted to drugs. I'm not anymore. I've been clean for 15 years now. But I know plenty of people that are same age as me now. I'm nearly 40. They smoke every day and they don't have an issue. They don't do hard drugs. They might only drink on weekends or special occasions, and they go home every night and they have a joint. And it's just one of those things. It's a calming, relaxing thing. And some people can keep drugs and alcohol under control, and some people can't. It's as simple as that.
Yeah. And look, alcohol's the perfect example. Some people can drink in moderation, and everything's fine. Some people shouldn't have one drink.
No, exactly right. It turns them into vicious animals.
I've seen it.
They can't stop sometimes. But, yeah. But as far as like these polls go, the Greens doing polls on that, and look, that probably is true, but through my experience when I was younger, I'd got pulled over maybe 20 times with marijuana on me, and when I was underage, the coppers would just throw it away, no fine, and when I was older, they would just let you have it, because I think even they realise it's a ridiculous thing to put through the court system. It's a waste of time and money.
Yes, but the laws surrounding driving a motor vehicle whilst marijuana is in your system, they I don't think they should change.
No, of course not. You shouldn't be driving with anything in your system. Alcohol, Valium, marijuana, whatever you're on. Like, just, if it's going to inhibit your driving or your reflexes, then yeah, of course you don't do it. That's just common sense.
It is
to most people. So.
All right. Well, look. Thank you for getting the conversation rolling. It's great, Matt. Thank you very much.
Not a problem, Luke.
Let's see what the folks think. What are you doing up?
I'm actually at work. Well, I'm coming home from work now. I'm doing night shift at a hospital.
What do you do?
Maintenance. I'm a painter.
You're painting the walls?
Yeah, all the offices at a hospital in Melbourne. So it's the only time we can get in is night time because obviously so busy during the day.
Yeah.
And we get in there nice and early in the afternoon and we just go as hard as we can for as long as we can, and then we go home.
That's what you got to do. If it's a busy building like the one I'm in, they were doing some renovations here some time ago. And we had a whole team of workmen with us overnight. It was very different to have people walking around. Mind you, the jackhammering was fun.
Bugger that.
But anyway, look, you keep it up, mate. Have a great day, and thanks for calling us.
Thanks, Luke. You too. See you, mate.
Bye-bye. Have a great weekend. The Night Shift, Triple M. G'day, Mez.
G'day, Luke. How you going?
I'm good. Mez, is that a nickname or is that your name?
Ned.
She's got Mez.
Ned, you see?
No, Mez, M-E-Z.
No, Ned, N-E-D.
Oh, you're Ned.
Yeah.
She's written Mez.
Mez, oh, well.
I think she's
call me that if you want.
I think she's been drinking.
Not smoking.
Anyway, Ned, we'll call you Ned. What's up?
Okay, Ned. Hey, I got booked once, you know, the point-to-point cameras from Yass to South Gundagai.
I know of point-to-point cameras, yes?
Yeah, well, down there, I was driving for Scott's Transport, and I didn't know. I went to Northern Territory to drive cattle road trains for a while, and then they told me over there when I went to transfer my licence that my licence in New South Wales had been cancelled.
Oh,
so I phoned up,
right.
And they said that I was driving an unregistered truck.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and so then I phoned up the compliance manager at the transport company, and they said, no, that truck's never been unregistered and the number plate's never been changed.
So what's happened?
Well, then I had to, I phoned them back up, and they're going, oh, it's too late now, you put it on a payment plan. I didn't know that was the way it was, and they said that it was 8 points, 4 points each way.
But hang on. If the truck's registration's not your responsibility, is it?
Well, the driver is responsible for it.
The driver is responsible if Isn't it the trucking company responsible to register their own trucks?
Well, there's that many, and I was working with an agency, and they were putting me in different trucks every day, you know, and so I wasn't too sure which one was registered and unregistered, but it's a pretty big company, so you'd just assume that they're all registered.
But you don't own the truck, you're just the driver.
That's right, yeah, well, but there's driver responsibility.
Well, how could that possibly be your fault?
Well, that's what I was saying to them, like the company should take some sort of responsibility too. But like I said, the compliance manager said that truck has never been unregistered between those times, and none of the number plates have been changed. And so I phoned them back up, and they said, oh, because the number plate couldn't be identified or something, they just put it as unregistered.
Yeah, but it can't be the driver. But it's not. It can't. It can't be the driver's fault. You're driving a truck on behalf of a trucking company. They own the trucks. It's up to them to make sure the trucks are registered. Can somebody please explain this to me? How is it that Ned lost points and got a fine?
Yeah, no, it was about $1,600, $800 each time.
No and, way. How long ago was this?
I finalised it this year. I had to muck around because I worked night shift, and then I had to muck around and get an annulment form and all that and pay $50 and everything to do all that.
I must be really thick. I must have rocks in my head tonight. How can it be a driver's fault if he gets pinged for driving an unregistered truck? How would he know? You're paid to do a job, you go along, you get in the truck and off you go. It's the people who own the truck that are responsible for registering it, isn't it?
Yeah, well, that's what I thought too. But the stupid thing about it is that the truck wasn't even unregistered.
I've
had to get letters from the compliance manager and send that off with a whole lot of other stuff with the annulment. And then they ended up withdrawing, giving me my points back because I haven't lost points for over 13 years and taking the $1,600 off. But, I mean, I wanted to take it to court because when I registered my car, I had to pay for the green slip. And they, because those points were off, I had to pay an extra $200 because I had points taken off.
Okay. Were you eventually let off?
Well, I was eventually given back my points and plus the money.
Oh, well, okay. Now, I'm back on the fairway. Okay, I get it. Thanks for your call. We finally got there. Robin Haas, Kyrgios, Nick Kyrgios on court right now. Kyrgios is up two sets to Love. He's leading 6-5 in the third. He's serving at 30-15. We'll keep you posted. Seven Aussies at play at Wimbledon tonight or this morning. 133353 is the telephone number. Now, Jane, g'day.
Hi, how are you?
I'm very good. How are you?
Yeah, well, thank you. I'm just ringing to discuss this gun situation with boys in particular. I've brought up a boy, and even though I was very against violent weapons as toys, sometimes you just can't help it because he just picked up sticks or
of course
pretended that they, you know, anything he could pick up to pretend that he had a gun.
Yep.
I don't agree with, you know, taking toy guns to daycare centres, but, you know, I just think we should allow our boys to be boys and our girls to be girls. I remember we went to the... I took Jay to the Rye Carnival one year when he was just a little boy, and we won a prize, and all these teddy bears were up there, and I thought he'd choose a nice cuddly toy, and right up in the corner out of sight was this toy rifle, and straight away he's gone, I'll have that. And
there you go.
You know, what am I going to say? No, you can't have it.
Exactly. It was his choice. So, it was his choice. Yeah.
And it really was. He chose that, and he, you know, of course I let him have it. And, you know, he didn't. He's now 17. He hasn't turned into a crazy gun-crazed criminal. And I just believe that, you know, regardless of what we want, boy, they're going to do it anyway. So,
yeah. By the way, Rafa Nadal has just gone through to the next round in straight sets, and Kyrgios has won his match in straight sets. He's through. So there we are.
Groovy.
There you are. So,
yeah. Can I just also comment on the lady who got the fine?
Yep.
With regards to having lines painted around her car, that happened to me once.
Yeah.
I got a good detail for my car because they sprayed chalk paint all over my car, and it does happen.
So you can park your car quite legally and come back 5 days later and the parking rules have changed after you've parked your car and you can still get done.
Well, 5 days later wasn't my experience. It was about 20 minutes later for me. I parked my car on the foreshore here in Rosebud and went for my walk, came back about half an hour later, and there was all these new lines painted around my car and they'd sprayed paint on it, and I just, of course, I reacted and straight down to the council and ended up getting a good detail on my car.
They pay for it.
Well, of course.
They pay for it. There you are. Well done. 133353 is the telephone number. You won't believe, a few years ago, I got hit by a golf ball. There's a road that goes alongside a golf course near our place, right? It's a public road. And there's a tiny gap in the trees on one of the fairways. And I was driving along, and I had the window down and my elbow on the window. You know how you do?
Yes.
And a bang! I heard this loud noise.
No way.
Yes, and a golf ball's hit the side of the car about 3 inches under where my elbow was on the door. Had it come through the window, it would have killed me. So anyway, this is a true story. So I drove up to the golf club and told them. They came out and had a look at the dent, and they said, okay, yes, well, we have insurance. This is where you take the car and they'll get the dent out for you. I said, thank you very much. Went and made the appointment. So that it hit me, the golf ball hit me on the right-hand side, so the fairway's to my right. Booked the car in to get the dent fixed, turned around, going home at the same spot, same golf course, same car, bang, left-hand door.
No way!
Another one. And so I got hit twice in the same car. At the same golf, so I turned around and went back again.
That is just unheard of.
I know, I'm unbelievable. So,
that is classic in the wrong spot at the wrong time.
I should have bought a lottery ticket. Twice.
No, you should have.
Twice in one day, same spot.
Because if your window had have been down, you would have been no longer.
Well, no, it hit the door, but the first one, my window was open, and it hit the door. About 3 inches down from the window.
Unbelievable.
Had it come through the window, it would have killed me.
Absolutely, it would have.
And I got hit again on my way home at the same spot.
Oh, well, good way to get a respray on your car.
There we go. Okay. Jane, you have a good day. Have a good weekend.
Oh, you too. Thanks for talking.
Thanks.
Cheers. Bye.
See you, mate. Bye-bye. The Night Shift, Triple M. G'day, Brian.
How you going, Lukey?
Brian, I'm okay. It's Friday. It's Long Neck Friday.
I don't really drink that much, and I don't like beer.
What's wrong with you?
I've done all my beer drinking days when I was 15 and 16, mate.
You beered out?
Yeah, mate, yeah. I like the top shelf.
What do you drink? If you're having a drink, what do you have?
Oh, probably bourbon or scotch.
Right. No beer?
Nah. Two things I want to have a chat about.
Yep.
Firstly, about the toys.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've got three boys, and all this crap about, kids growing up violent, they only grow up violent if they see violence around them.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, from their parents. It's a reflection on the parents.
You think so?
Absolutely, mate. Like, I grew up with my mum being bounced off walls. And I hate women, blokes who hit women. If I see a bloke go on a woman, I'll step in front of her and I'll say, take a swing at me, mate, because I'll swing back.
Mm. Good on you.
You know,
good on you.
You know, No, it's bullshit, mate. Like,
But you grew up in a violent household, did you?
Yeah, I did.
And your dad used to hit your mum?
Well, my mum's boyfriend, yeah.
Your mum's boyfriend hit your mum?
Yep.
Oh, dear. Yep. And so you've gone the other way?
Absolutely, mate.
Are you a violent person?
No, mate.
Well, you see, you've just contradicted yourself. You said if you're brought up in a violent household, you'll end up being violent. You've gone the other way.
Oh, it depends. Like, I grew up with seeing my mum like that, you know what I mean? With this gun bullshit,
yep.
You know, you don't see any fat Barbies.
No.
Well, you know, all you see is skinny Barbies. Like,
That's right.
Is every single girl skinny?
No. Do they make dolls that are plump?
No, I've never seen a plump doll, unless they're like teddy bears and that. But a doll, have you ever seen a fat doll?
I haven't. Is there any such thing as a realistic-sized doll? Because right now, realistic-sized, or they call them plus-size models, are earning millions of dollars on the catwalks now because the designers realize that real women don't look like those thin models that we've been used to.
That's exactly right.
And there are plus-size models now, and I think that's a great thing. I like a bit of meat in the bone, to be honest,
It doesn't matter. Like, you know, each to their own. Everyone has a different sort of look on things. You know, some like them plumpy, some like them skinny, some like them in between.
Mm.
And just ages ago, you were talking about Jess with her license.
Yeah, if it ever happens.
I used to be a truck driver, and I spoke to a lot of my mates that I know there's not enough education around car when you get your car license, how to deal with trucks.
Yeah.
And I've spoken to plenty of truck drivers, and they agree that when you get your P plates, I reckon you should be put in a car with a trailer on the back, drive around with the trailer empty, then fill it with sand.
Yeah.
And then get it to drive normally. Because then they'll get an understanding of weights.
Yeah, that's an interesting thing. Okay, interesting observation.
Now, I'm actually lucky I've had two bad truck accidents.
Yeah, all right, well, you're very aware.
Yes, so, you know, and the amount of, like, we leave that gap in front of us in case we have to stop quickly, and people think that gap is there for them.
Mm. Yeah, no, we've talked about it a lot in this program. If you're a regular listener, you know that's a regular topic that comes up, the lack of education when you get your car license on how to deal with freeways and negotiating trucks.
Well, that's why I reckon if you put them in a car with a trailer and sand in it, they'll get at least a slight understanding of what it's like with a truck.
Yeah, no, good idea, Brian. Thanks for that. We're always up after ideas that'll promote road safety. Thank you. Yes, the banning of toy guns at preschools. I don't know if we should be taking toy guns to preschool, but does it lead to violent behavior if you grow up with guns, toy knives and swords? What about Star Wars lightsabers? Does that lead to violent behavior? 133353. Remember in Star Trek they had phasers? Turn your phasers to stun. Did that make us violent? Those of us that grew up watching cowboys and Indians? I used to shoot Native Americans dead. Remember that? Remember that? Did we grow up racist towards American Indians? Did we want to go shooting them? The toys that you play with when you're a child, does that determine your personality as an adult? If you'll pardon the pun, it's drawing a long bow, isn't it? 133353. G'day, James.
G'day, mate. How you going?
Good, thank you. Talk to me.
Mate. I'm an ex-Australian Army Special Forces soldier.
Wow.
And I grew up on a cattle property.
Yeah.
In the northeast of Victoria, past Wangaratta, between Cheshunt and Myrtleford. I had a .22 in my hand, rifle, when I was 5 years old. My dad taught me gun safety.
Yes. Most kids on farms do, don't they?
Yep. And I've taught my little fella, and he's 12 years old. I've taught him gun safety since he was young.
Yep.
And this toy gun thing, mate, it's a joke.
It's a joke?
Yeah, it's a joke, mate. It's just like, you got to teach children. You bring them up, teach them gun safety, all good. But this toy gun thing, well, this political correctness gone wrong, mate.
Are they going to ban one day boys taking in a G.I. Joe and girls taking Barbies because they're gender specific?
Yeah.
I'm serious.
Like that, mate. I'm telling you, it's looking like that. It's just out of control, mate. This is just like, this political correctness in this country, this is out of control, and this country is going in a bad direction.
Do you know, I've said it before, there are people out there, and you know this, James, there are people out there who wake up in the morning and they think, how can I be offended today?
Mate, some of these people, like, you'll see them out there and they'll go, oh, guns and guns, guns, guns. Yeah, right, eh? Well, you might be in your nice little house with your nice life. Well, you do what I've done and sat on the other side of the fence, and it's a two-way firing range, and I've got bullets flying at me.
Sorry, say that again.
I'm defending my country,
yeah,
and I've got bullets flying at me.
Yeah.
Well, they got no idea, mate. And they got no respect for us blokes. And I got respect for every Australian soldier, every Australian military personnel. I've got a big history of my family that's been in the military. And I've been shot at, mate. And some of these people that want to, some of these, like, lefties that, like, greeny people go, oh, guns, 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 guns. Well, come with me. And we'll get out in a two-way firing range and see how you go. And they haven't got the guts to go out there. And that's what really pisses me off, because they've got no right to say what they say because they ain't been there. And I'm defending my country.
Yeah. How long have you been out of the army?
I've been out about probably 20 years now, mate.
20 years. What do you do now?
I'm a diesel mechanic by trade, and I'll do earth mover now.
Okay. Can I just say thank you for your service?
Thanks, mate. Appreciate that.
And thank you for calling. And your point of view is welcome here.
Sorry, mate. It's the first time I ever rang you.
Well, you ring back any time, okay?
And this gun thing come up, and I went, nah, I'm ringing you.
Well, you did. You've done it, James, and you've had your say, and all of Australia's heard you. So thank you very much, and I'm sure we'll talk again.
Thanks, mate. Love your show.
Thank you, mate. Appreciate it. This is The Night Shift. It's Friday, folks. It's July the 6th, and we're steaming into another weekend. And it's Long Neck Friday. The Man Cave open in about an hour from now. Pull up a bar stool and we'll talk some stuff. And women are welcome. I mean, we invite Jess in.
Everyone's welcome here.
Everyone's welcome here, but it is the Man Cave. My Man Cave has been completely taken over. I have not won a game of pool. Well, I've won plenty of games, but not a competition at home since the pool table arrived. I used to be king of the darts board. Simon's Mrs. Vegas. She's taken that away from me and she's as blind as a bat.
Yeah, her eyesight isn't good.
I have the top score in the pinball machine.
Yep.
I think. But you know what? I haven't learned how to put my name up. When you get the top score, there's a way.
So do you have the top score then?
Well, I can't prove it because my name's not
on
there.
Well, then you don't, Luke.
But I don't know. I can't work out. I haven't got the instructions. I don't know how to put my name up on the board.
Do other people have their name there?
The previous owners had their names up there, yes, and it's driving me mad.
So you've got nothing.
Maybe there's someone listening who knows how to program it. We should get Michael to tell me. He'll know.
You should.
From
AMD and Stern Pinball Machines.
Yeah. Anyway, 133353 is the telephone number. Just quickly, your weekend forecast, folks. Sydney, 24 today, a partly cloudy day. Saturday, windy and partly cloudy. And Sunday, sunny and 17. Brisbane, 25 today and a shower or two. Saturday, a shower or two, 25, 21 on Sunday and sunny. Townsville, 27. Saturday, 27. Sunday, 26, possibly showers. Adelaide, 15, 14 on Saturday, 15 on Sunday, showers and cloudy. Melbourne, 15, 13 on Saturday, 13 on Sunday, showers. Hobart 12 today, 11 on Saturday, 12 on Sunday, and go on.
I have no idea what you're going to say.
You wrote it.
I copy-pasted it. There's a difference.
Perth 18, partly cloudy. Saturday 19, Sunday 20, and sunny in Canberra 14. Showers over the weekend. 9 on Saturday and 12 on Sunday.
You expect me to remember the nation's weather?
Yep.
Anything else you want from me?
Nick Kyrgios is through to the next round of Wimbledon, and Rafa has also won his. They both won in straight sets. So we'll keep you posted. What are some things that are bothering Australians today?
Funny you should ask.
We have some serious problems we need to face.
Huge crises.
Homelessness.
Big one.
Poverty.
Our veterans not being looked after.
Exactly. Well said. Our veterans coming back and being traumatised and not getting the help that they need.
Migrants, refugee crisis.
Children going hungry at school. But there is a list of other problems that people are worried about. And Jess found this on the internet. These are things that people in first world countries worry about.
Well, they're called first world problems, Lukey.
Mm. And we want to know if our listeners can add to it.
Yeah, what ticks you off? You know, have a vent. It's Friday. You've had a big week. Get it off your chest.
You and I have both travelled. I've been to Asia. I've been to Asian countries. I've been to India, where I saw kids playing in filth.
Mm.
Massive amounts of rubbish and pollution. There are countries where kids have not got uncontaminated drinking water, where typhoid, where malaria, where diseases that you wouldn't hear about in Australia are rife.
And forget healthcare.
Leprosy.
Yes.
You know, and these are people that are waking up not knowing if they're going to have a gun held to their head that day, if they're going to survive that day, living in fear, lining up in their thousands at refugee camps, not living in tents, not knowing where the next meal's coming, hoping the United Nations food packages arrive.
Yeah, I've seen it firsthand.
You've seen it?
Yeah.
And yet there are first world problems that people actually bitch about on the internet and they think their lives are hopelessly bad because of, you just go through the list.
Mm.
Go through your favourites.
Being left on hold. Everyone hates being on hold and the hold music. And Centrelink is notorious for having those long wait lines, don't they?
Is that the number one?
That's up there. That's number three.
Okay.
Number one is having a runny nose. Do you really think that's bad? I worse than a runny nose is a blocked nose. You know when you have a blocked nose and you wonder, will I ever breathe again? And you forget what it's like to breathe without a blocked nose. It feels like a distant memory of ease.
What are some more first world problems?
Receiving a "we missed you" card for a failed package delivery. Sometimes, and I kid you not, the posties, not all, I'm sure there are a lot of good people out there doing their job, but I have witnessed a postie once not even ringing our bell and not even knocking on the door because I was on the stalk and I was on the watch and I saw it. Do you think that they're so overworked though and maybe underpaid that they don't have enough time to ring every doorbell?
So they just put the note
and
there.
So they just, you know, they just pump out the notes.
What's another one?
People who ignore lining up in the queue and they jump it.
Queue jumpers.
Queue etiquette.
Mm. Do you know what I hate? I hate it when you're in a queue and you're waiting.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, at a buffet and you've got your plate in your hand.
Oh, yes.
And someone in front of you, there's someone who's way at the back, recognizes someone in front of you.
And they push in.
And they come down and say, "Hi, how are you going?" And they get into a conversation and they move in.
No, I'll do you one worse. If you're in a buffet queue, you cannot take a second plate for your friend's uncle at table 27 down the back.
What if he's in a wheelchair?
Well, he wasn't when I saw him.
So, you're taking
two
plates.
I don't think you're allowed to fill up for other people if they're fine to stand up for themselves.
What is the buffet etiquette? Can you fill up a spare plate?
Can you take extras home? Not saying I've done it, but I mean, if you had room in your purse and you wanted to wrap up a few bread rolls and just chuck them in.
You've done it.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just wondering, is there CCTV footage and are you allowed? Asking for a friend.
133353. First world problems. One more.
Not having Wi-Fi. I mean, really?
Oh, dear, oh, dear. We really don't have much to worry about,
do we? Really don't. And if these are our problems, we are living in a very lucky country.
We are living in a lucky country. 133353 is the telephone number. This is the Night Shift.
On Triple M.
Darren, g'day.
Hey, mate. How are you going?
I'm okay.
I just sort of bring up a point about what you mentioned about the sexting and stuff like that. Now, my understanding, like I work in electronic security and I've had a fair bit to do with the criminal system, both servicing jails as well as doing a lot with police stations. My understanding of the law was, regardless of your age, if you view or pass on a photo of someone under the age of 16, that is effectively, you're committing a crime.
Yeah, that's right.
So why would you teach someone or try and educate them how to do that properly?
Because I'm with you. But as Jess said, and I'm not saying that Jess approves of sexting, but she's saying if young girls are going to do it, no matter...
And boys,
that's right, the dick pic thing. God, can you be...
Yeah, I know, yeah.
Is the term dick pic in the dictionary yet?
Not yet, but it is so common, Luke.
I know, like selfies now in there. It's only a matter of time until dick pic's in there. But anyway, if these kids are going to be sending these photos off, they're saying, we can't stop them. We can't stop them. We can warn them until the cows come home, but they're going to do it anyway. Let's teach them how to do it safely. That's their argument.
Yeah, okay, all right. You talked about marijuana usage. Is that the same rules apply?
Yes.
Alcohol, same rules apply. So if I've got a... So as an example, I'll just throw this out there. I've got a 14-year-old daughter, yes, with a sexting, she's experimenting.
Has she?
I don't have a daughter.
But hypothetical. Okay.
Hypothetical.
Yep.
Well, I'll say, yes, this has... I've had friends that experience this. But, okay, so she's experimenting with that. That's fine. And that's part of growing up and learning about herself and her body and everything else. Same with the boys, and that's what it's all about. Okay, so they experiment with alcohol, they experiment with drugs. So either way, they're still breaking the law.
Well, that's right. And Jess made the perfect analogy earlier on when she was saying now at music festivals, they have pill testers. They have these little pop-up chemist shops and... they're saying, you're going to take your pill anyway. You're going to take your recce or whatever it is anyway. Bring it over to the stand and let us test it for you to see that it's safe. It's exactly the same thing, Jess.
It's the same mentality, isn't it? They're doing it anyway. Let's make sure they do it and don't have lifelong consequences. Because when you're so young, you don't think about the future. You don't think, well, someone might screenshot this. Someone might put this on Facebook. This could prevent... my career in the future and haunt me. It could be online forever. People don't think when they're taking a drug when they're young, this might kill me. Maybe I'll have a reaction to it. Same with safe sex being taught in schools. I mean, some parents freak out. Oh, they're teaching our kids about sex. They're going to do it. Well, no, they're probably going to do it anyway. We can at least teach them how to do it and not fall pregnant, not catch STIs, not catch STDs.
Yeah, no, you see what she's saying? She's right.
Look, I understand that, but I agree and disagree.
Look, it goes against every grain of my being teaching safe sexting in schools because in a perfect world, you don't want your daughter or your son to send inappropriate material on the internet. But if they're going to do it...
If they're going to do it, at least crop your face out. Don't be identifiable. I mean, if
you've got a tattoo, make sure that's not on there. If you've got an identifiable piece of jewellery, make sure that's not on there.
I think it's a hard reality, but the digital age is moving so rapidly and I don't think people understand how normalised these kind of things are becoming. And I only see it because I've got younger friends and cousins. And sometimes it strikes me at how normal these things have become.
Mm.
It is different to my generation because... I didn't grow up with a smartphone, but these kids are growing up with smartphones. The internet is all they know.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. All right. Let's put another analogy then. Take a, say, we complain about the road toll and about the males dying between the age of under 25s dying so rapidly. Now, what are you going to do? Teach them how to drive safely, how to actually go and control a vehicle properly, put them on a dirt road, let them learn how to drive a car properly. Now, is that going to encourage them to turn around and drive recklessly on the road, or are they just going to do it anyway?
I know what you're saying. And we say don't speed. We say obey the road rules. Be responsible. But not everyone is. That's why we have the road toll where it is. What they're saying is you can take a horse to water, you can't make a drink. You can tell kids don't indulge in sexting because it can ruin your life down the track, because they're doing it anyway. So what this school in Melbourne is doing is they're teaching people how to sext safely. I know it's.
I still think that's ridiculous, but anyway, that's, I suppose I'm too old to.
Oh, look, I'm with you. But I sort of get it. It's just like the pill analogy. You go to a music festival, and instead of taking a pill that might kill you, you take that pill to a tester so they can see what's in it.
Oh, look, I actually agree with that. I don't have an issue with that at all. Like, put it this way, if you had ecstasy and it was available over, and it was made in a lab, and it was no different to an aspirin or Nurofen or some other drug, say, that you could buy over from a chemist, I wouldn't have a problem taking it, honestly, because it'd be no different to taking going to have a drink of alcohol.
Okay.
Well, whiskey.
Well, we're also this morning talking about this growing support for the decriminalisation of cannabis. Now, I don't smoke pot. It's one thing I've never done. And it's funny because I grew up in an area where everyone did, in an era where everyone did. I somehow avoided it. I had other vices, I guess. But that doesn't bother me. And everybody I know that smokes pot, they don't become violent like I've seen people become on alcohol. They just want to sit down in the beanbag and think about how cool the whole world is, and they put Cat Stevens' Tea for the Tillerman album on. So,
Look, I tend to agree. Like, I know guys that have, and I'm 47, so, you know, sort of old enough and to have been around on the planet long enough to see a lot of different things, different environments. And, you know, I know guys of my age and older, you know, they take pills, they do this, they do that, speed, whatever else. It's for over a period of time in life. Any time the guys are having a smoke of marijuana, it's to mellow out, not to get hyped up. It's to chill out, usually as a stress relief.
To mellow out, yeah. There is medical proof that some people become schizophrenic on marijuana. Yeah. There are people who should not have one drop of alcohol.
Correct.
And it's legal. So, look, we'll throw that one into the mix. But the safe sexting at schools, it's being taught at a school in Melbourne. We don't know how many other schools. And they, instead of just saying, don't send nude pictures of yourself, they're teaching kids as young as 11, to, if they're going to send nude pictures, to do it safely. 133353 is the telephone number. What do you make of it all? It's a different world, isn't it? It's a different world. The Night Shift, Triple M.